In this episode, I'm speaking to author, speaker, transformational coach, intuitive, and ex-business executive, Tracy L. Clark. Tracy's story is an absolutely captivating one, and she will teach us the power of resilience when you listen to your soul. Enjoy the episode. Tracy, welcome to the show.
I'm so happy to be here. We're going to have some fun today.
We will have some fun today, Tracy, indeed. So, Tracy, I just wanted to just start off as I came across a lot of your material on TikTok, and I reached out to you and your team, and I'm very grateful that we've got you on the show this week, because I know the audience will really love to hear not only your story, but how you're helping people, because your story is, like I mentioned in the opening credits, a very inspiring one. You haven't had necessarily an easy start to life, but you sure have managed to help a lot of people along the way. But most of all, you've managed to help yourself. And you've turned out to be a real beacon of light in sometimes what people would consider very troubling and difficult times. And I my heart really felt like, wow, you're a beautiful teacher, someone who walks her talk and is able to inspire others, because not everybody always gets an easy start. We all have different things that we're dealing with. So if you could just enlighten us a little bit, tell us a bit about your story, how you managed to be where you are today, doing all of these amazing things, the author of these books, you know, teaching, inspiring, uplifting, and helping people transform. Tell us a little bit about you, Tracy.
Yeah, I'll try to condense it as quickly as I can. Yeah. But like you said, I was born really sick. So that's sort of how I came into the world. And I had a lot of physical ailments. And I died. They didn't know what was wrong with me. So I came close. And then miraculously, some doctor was like, oh, I don't think any of her stomach valves are open. So I couldn't get food. So what they did is they strapped me to the bed and they fed me through my head. So, I was in a really remote town, but basically I had a very damaged nerve system. My hips and legs weren't attached. So they were casted. And so out of that, after he fixed that, I walked around, like I was having seizures all the time. My whole body would just shake. Like it was kind of crazy. And, I lived on a mask to breathe, and I was a very sensitive, very empathic child. Yeah. My parents, when I was three, my mom was in Germany. So you can imagine in the early 70s, like communication and ability, there was still letters back then, right? There wasn't emails or anything. No. And, he moved his girlfriend in and told my mom, don't come back. And so of course she came back. So at midnight we were kicked out of our house with our garbage bags and didn't really understand what was going on. We ended up in a shelter, a crisis center for women, which was 3 hours away from where our home was. And so from there, I had a kidnapping at five and hit by a car. I have multiple near-death experiences. So life was just, it just seemed like lemonade after lemonade. And you can imagine from there, it led to a lot of people pleasing, a lot of insecurity, a lot of not knowing who I am. But it was interesting because I was an extremely empathic child because I would always feel everyone, but nobody talked about it then. Sure. And I remember before the kidnapping happened, I kept saying to my mom, there's something wrong with that man. Like I get scared. And it was like, you know, it's the 70s. No, it's fine. You're just sensitive. And I was right. And when that had happened, and at the end, I won't go into the whole story. They can read it in the book if they want. But when he had, at the end, he had pulled me in, he threw me in the ground. He had the gun on my back, my head. And I just blacked out. And all I remember was hearing the sirens of the cop cars. But that also opened another sensory system, which was my seeing. And I thought as a kid, it was like trauma or PTSD or what was happening. So I never shared with anybody because, you know, not to share. So you learn, you just don't share. And back then the parents' attitude in the 70s is, okay, it's done. Go to your room. We're not talking about it. Well, you're sitting there in this trauma state, right? PTSD, and we're not allowed to talk about it. So that brings up a lot of fears as well. So during this whole space, my body kept breaking down and breaking down and breaking down. So I did have a lot of near-death experiences. When I was seven, I actually did flatline in the hospital. They were trying to give me medicine for allergies. My body didn't take medicine very well. And I had to be crash carted. And I remembered what it was like on the other side. I've had many experiences going over there. And I always, people laugh when they're like, you should have been a drug addict, or you should have been like a, you know, an alcoholic or what happened. And So this was life. And I ended up from that in a very abusive marriage because I didn't know any different. I was young and, you know, I called the wedding off 5 times, but again, nobody listened, nobody heard. Right. And finally, at a breaking point when I was leaving, I started to look into sort of meditation. And I'm like, there's got to be reading some Wayne Dyer. You're like, what's happening here? It's like 20 some years ago. And it was sort of that awakening. It was always something in me that if I look back now, something was always pulling me out. And I know now what was happening. But I ended up in this very, okay, I've got to do the corporate world. Like I sold my first company in 96 to one of our country's largely publicly traded companies. And then there was the guilt of having all the money and you're young and all the people are like, oh, must be nice. Meanwhile, you're struggling health-wise. You're in a bad relationship. I'm like, money doesn't make you happy. It's a tool. Like I didn't even realize what was all happening.
So life is kind of a little bit out of balance. You think you've got something right, like you're doing well with the business, but the relationships isn't right. Maybe your health, you know, so something's got to give somewhere, isn't it really?
Right. Yeah. And basically, my awakening, some people might call it their come to Jesus moment, whatever you want to call it, no right, no wrong. I had gone to see my medical professionals because of my system. Like I saw about 15 neurologists because I shook so bad. Like people would ask me if I was having seizures on the street, like, are you okay? And they're just like, oh, it's a tick. It's a nerve system, can never be fixed. And I'm like, you don't get it. Like, I want to rip my head off. Like I'm in so much pain. And so that was basically, they're like, nothing more we can do for you. And I'm leaving. I'm like, okay, I'm the sole provider of these two little kids I had in tow. And I had to figure this out. And basically they said, nothing we can do. Your body keeps failing. I'm 5'10". So I was down to about 120 pounds, which is really kind of not very great. Like it's pretty anorexic. And, And even as a kid, I was the youngest kid in our country diagnosed with ulcers at 5, diverticulitis, irritable bowel syndrome, like things that children shouldn't have. And so it was just this progressive. And when they said that, I realized I had to start looking something else, which then all the things started to show up. I had a mentor that showed up who's no longer with us, but without her, I would have died for sure. And I thanked her one day and she said, yeah, you're right. Learning the energies of people and life. And all of a sudden, life started to change when I started to realize what it was going on with me. So I focus a lot on the body because our body always tells us what's happening. But I find now most people are so disconnected from their body. Like, look in the world. They don't even realize what's going on, what they're feeling, or why. So over this progression, I started to realize, and I practice the tools I teach today, just like you do. Like, we get to this place because I started to see my body started to change. Doctors were like, what's happening? I don't understand what you're doing, but keep doing it. I spent time in Asia learning. I spent time in North America. But then I started to realize there was also a lot of things, no different than anything. You have to go with what resonates with you. And it was what I spend my time doing now is wanting people to have tools that empower them to go direct to their connection, which is sacred to them. Absolutely. Because the whole world is always out there. And I'm like, no, when I realize it's in here, and we had to bring the pieces back. So that's where I spend my time with people. If when we have an illness, we've neglected our emotional body so badly that the illness is saying, look at me, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the illness is the messenger. The illness is the messenger, and the emotions tell you whether you're going in the right direction or the wrong direction. I call it red lights and green lights. Are you listening to the green lights or are you listening to the red lights? And are you paying attention? And what it sounds like from your story from an earlier on, which was in this life, you're going to learn the spiritual law of discernment. And that was probably why you came crashing into this physical lifetime with what you had to learn at a young age. How I understand all of these patterns is only because I've been meditating every day for 20 years.
And yeah, right.
I don't know how I know. I just get it. And so when I have my clients come to me, it's like, oh, yeah, that makes so much sense. Well, you can see the bigger picture when you're more connected, but you can't see the bigger picture when you're disconnected or you're ill or there's something wrong. We always go into our pain and we kind of stay there for a bit longer until we can sort of get out. And one of the best ways is what you said is get back into the body. And the more you're in your body, which is why we're here in the first place, you want to have this physical experience, the more we can embrace this body, this beautiful body, that this vessel that we've been given. The more we can play in it, the more fun we can have. But sometimes we have to go through the hardship to come out the other side to learn what we need to learn. And so I just wanted to go into the next question. Thank you for your story and telling us, you know, and being so candid, because I know it can be very difficult sharing our colorful histories. We've all got colorful histories.
Hey, when you come to peace with it, you're just like, here's what it is. This is what happened.
This is it. This is it. And, you know, the whole reason why I started this podcast is, you know, is I started receiving so much understanding and wisdom. And I just thought, well, I might as well share it because it's helped me. It's kept me well for 23 years. What if it helps other people? And that's the purpose of this show, is to constantly uplift and enlighten and empower people along the way so they can have their own transformation. So I just wanted to ask you just a few of your things, you know, like you've written your books. Mm-hmm. What's the title of your first book? If you could, the most recent one, is it like God?
God, Where Are You? It's Me.
Yes. God, Where Are You? Is that the most recent one that you've written?
Actually, I wrote two prayer books after that. They channeled quite quickly. I said it took me 8 years to write the first one. And then I call them prayer books, but they channeled really quickly. So they're prayers and affirmations, but they're not your typical prayer books that people would see. So they're with the right wording, and maybe they're on health or wealth or intuition or reclaiming your sovereignty. There's world prayers, things for your animal. So they're channeled in a way where people can get to understand the language on how to communicate with their environment. Yeah. And a lot of people have, it's cool. They report back and say, oh my gosh, I said this prayer for work and I got this job that they told me I wasn't qualified for and I ended up getting it. So I like it.
Isn't it wonderful when you can say something and it really sort of touches the source and it touches something within you and it moves you? I'm going to put all the links to Tracy's books in the bottom of this show, but I've really got so many questions to ask Tracy and see how much we can absorb her wisdom and her light in this episode. So Tracy is renowned for doing lots of talks on her TikTok and on her Instagram, which I follow and enjoy, a lot of which resonates with me. And she covers all sorts of different topics. So I'm just going to start picking a few. But I think one of the things that I really love that Tracy is all about is her resilience. She has this incredible resilience that she manages to turn negatives into positives. And I really find that a lot of us, particularly, you know, listening in the audience, you know, we're all going through our own challenges. What tips or would you say that it's really important for somebody who's going through a challenge right now, Tracy, that you think that, wow, this has really helped me when I was going through a challenge. Where do they start?
Yeah, you know, again, when you come back to your body, I always say people put your hands on your heart or whatever you're used to doing, but ask yourself, I'll go in and say, am I actually serving myself at all costs? I ask myself that if there's something that's challenging, or I go at all costs. And the reason I use that, and I'll say a lot of times too, like you ask yourself truthfully, am I in for myself at all costs? Because at all costs means you're going to do whatever it takes to get over that hurdle. And a lot of people, they say, oh, I want to do that. But when they look at actually unfolding, maybe it's removing somebody out of their life or having to change a job or change a diet, there's a pattern that's keeping you there, as you know. But a lot of times people are not in at all costs. It's like, oh, maybe I'll just wait, maybe another day.
So why is it that people aren't in on all costs? Because this is a really thing. There's this, you know, are you committed? You know, John Assaraf said this in an interview I watched recently. He was interviewed by his mentor, and he's one of the guys in The Secret. And I'm very particular about what I hear and then go, wow, that's truth to me. So I'm really fascinated by truth, because that gets my ears, you know, pinged up on this sort of stereo sound. And that's why when I heard you, I was like, oh, truth, lovely, nice to hear. But what I wanted to say is that the commitment, what is the difference between someone who's committed and kind of like just hanging on the fence? Why do they do that? Why do people do that? Yeah. I know we've all been there, but what's the difference between going from there to all the way?
Because when you're really committed at all costs, you're going to know that there's some pain you have to go through.
Right. So you're actually trying to avoid pain?
Yes. So a lot of people, they're like, because if you know, so example, I had to leave my marriage. That was all costs. Easy thing to do? No. People could look at it and say, well, shouldn't that be easy? No, I needed to go through the steps. I needed to do that. But a lot of people can say, well, I need this security, or I need this, or whatever their excuse is. I didn't need the financial security because I was the one that was making the money. So that was different. But at all costs, if I got to break the pattern, I got to break the family. And no matter, even if it's somebody that's looking at, you know, wanting to lose weight, you know, and you can say, okay, you have a sugar addiction, but you have a sugar addiction because you have an emotional need you're suppressing, right? And well, so we look at the emotional need, and sometimes it's, yeah, you have to leave a certain situation. Then they start making excuses. So they're not really in at all costs. They don't want to jump. It's like, you know, it's, or it's the people I hear this, well, I really want a good loving partner in my life. I'm like, well, then you're going to have to leave the relationship you're in. Well, no, I'll just wait till they come because I'm secure over here in a sense. Like I'm lonely, but there's a body here. I've heard that a lot. And I'm like, that's not at all costs. It's like, and that's what pulls people back because they have fears of what the unknown is. And then they go, well, what if I can't do it? Well, how about switch that? You know, what if you can do it? Or what's really good about this crappy situation that I'm not getting right now? And when people change that and they ask themselves that, they're like, well, wait a minute, maybe I could leave this relationship or this job and now I could have something better. And it's going to be scary. Sure, change is scary. If anyone tells you that change isn't scary, they're not being honest, because it's scary. And it was scary for all of us going through it. But then you form a new relationship with change and you start to see, well, wait a minute, if the universe is always working with me and rigged in my favor, then it might look a little scary because you're dismantling a paradigm, but what a blessing, because now you have a better paradigm on the other side. But yeah, it's getting that through that gap, right?
But I also think that what you're saying also requires a little life experience as well, because unless you've had success with a little bit of change, you might not want to take the next leap of faith. So for me, before COVID, I was asked to come out and see, for my audience that know the show, is like the day before COVID, my dad called me up from hospital, not with COVID, with some liver infection, and said, son, could you come out and look after your mother? Because I'm in hospital and she needs looking after. Obviously, she can't drive, etc. And had a stroke a few years prior. I said, Dad, I'll do anything for you. You tell me and I'll be there. So the next day I'm jumping on a plane, and then the day after we're locked into COVID. Now I moved out to Spain to look after my mom and my dad and get him out of hospital. Fortunately, my dad did come out of hospital 2 or 3 days after I arrived, but then I was locked in Spain instead of being locked in London.
Yeah.
And that wasn't for, and all my work was in London, but now I was in Spain. So, but the blessing was, as I got to hang around and be around my family that needed my help, mm-hmm. so I could be of service and take care of them. Because that's, in my world, that's what love would do.
For sure.
And I just said, whatever the change is, so be it. And I found myself in that time waiting for my, looking after my mother and father. And then my dad makes his transition only 6 or 7 months later. And then I'm back out in Spain again after being home for 1 month to now look after my mom for the next 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Change. It's always happening. You don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to tell you this. In my experience, I've seen things working out that I have no idea of working out. And when I listen to your story and my ears prick up with, you know, what you've had to manage to go through and still come out smelling of roses there, Tracy. Yeah. You know, that just shows that even in some of the most difficult and dire circumstances, anybody's listening, the universe is listening to you, is things are working out for you, even if, and especially when you can't see the next step.
And I think it's important for people to remember, like, I was a tough nut to crack. Like I literally, like I said, died and then had 6-7 near-death experiences, and something kept pulling me out and bringing me back. I kept wanting to go the other way. So it was one of these things where when I get when people say, well, I haven't seen this in the way I want to see it. And I think that was the biggest thing I needed to learn is that, and I did learn it, was, okay, it's never going to look the way I think it is, and it's not going to be on my time. And if I can reconcile with that, I can keep moving forward.
Hmm.
And that's what got me going and to be able to keep going. Even when it felt like a setback, it's like, okay, that means I kind of look at it like, you know, you're going down the road and you detour over here and then it brings you back to your path again. Then you detour over here and you bring it back. And so that also kept me in check. I'm like, okay, I just took a detour. I can come back now.
So it's nice to know that even if you are experiencing a detour, it's only going to reset you back to the right place no matter what happens. So you really can't go wrong in this life, no matter how off-piste you may feel as though you're going. If, you know, if you're listening and you're thinking you're experiencing some challenge right now, I'm sure you are, don't worry. Life will guide you back to the center again and you'll find your way. So, okay. So with regards to, you know, the resilience, now your understanding of the business world, Tracy, this mm-hmm. is fascinating. So you dropped out the corporate world, mm-hmm. obviously made some money, had some success, but your body broken down, your relationships broken down. How did you sort of pivot now to start building a life of where you're at now?
Well, it's interesting because that corporate world stayed with me for quite a while. And people kept saying, you know, come and we want you over here. Like, could you help us over here? So I ended up in a few different areas and then ended up in alternative investing. It was just a crazy path. If people look and they're like, wow, you went from here to here. And, there was one day I was at this company, that the last one that I was at, and it was a very large company. And I started noticing things that weren't in alignment. And then I had to put up with the powerful people at the top, a lot of name calling. Oh, you're a stupid woman. Why would you think that? And I'm like, I'm looking at stuff that doesn't make sense. Like, explain this to me.
Sure.
So in 08, you can imagine a lot of stuff changed and a lot of stuff came out, and I kept going with my intuition. But the whole time, it was interesting being in this corporate world. I spent a lot of time doing my work, my inner work. Like, I was doing my inner work and I was having a love and a passion for everything that I was doing. And then all the skills that I had, I was just working on friends and family, and they were getting all these great results. And it was just fun. It was like my hobby. And so when this whole corporate stuff, it got exposed, I literally sat there and I had an opportunity to go downtown, work for a very big, large company, making a large amount of money. And I remember I was sitting on my stairs and people kept saying to me, why are you doing this for your life? Like, you love this. You're so happy. Right. And I, you know, and I'd done the teachings, we've all done it. Right. And we spent years, my body had repaired, everything's great. And I remember coming down my stairs and I was like, okay, all right, spirit, like, I can't sell my soul to the devil anymore. And that's why when I, you know, people say, why do you talk about money? What's your thing? And I'm like, cause they don't take two, and we know, sorry, respect to TikTok, but they don't take 2 seconds to figure out, you know, they want 3 seconds, then the whole thing. And I said, well, I can't sell my soul to the devil anymore. The stuff I'd seen over there, this institution, the slavery and what's going on. And I said, okay, I'm going to take a leap of faith. What's the worst thing that can happen? I can go back into my own business, helping people. And that's a big shift from, and it's, see, I always say the dark energies, they entice you, right? Like, here's a very large job, or okay, let's start at square one.
It's temptation, isn't it? But the temptation is what is the right choice here for me? Is there a red, is there a green light, or is there a red light? And the easy choice, the simple choice isn't necessarily, you know, it's nice to go, am I going to be able to provide for my children here and the life that I'm looking for? Or am I going to, and with that will come consequences, or am I going to go down this route, which I think I've never been down before, and I don't know what's going to happen. It doesn't provide any security, but I know in my heart of hearts, it's probably a healthier choice.
Well, and that's where I got
no security and there's no certainty.
There was no security. None. It was basically all that stuff's going to go away. And so, okay. So I changed my life a little bit. Who cares? I was at a point where I'm like, I want to be happy. I want to do what I love. I'm going in because this is what's more important to me. And the minute I made that decision, there was this overwhelming sense of peace that literally I hadn't felt. And I kept looking behind my shoulder going, it's going away. Like, what's happening here? It's like a weird joke. Cause there was always a little bit of that hum. But you know what? I just dove in and it just kept growing and growing.
Was that the first time that you'd ever listened to this sort of, well, I wouldn't say it was the first time, but is it like consciously, can you remember thinking to yourself at that time, wow, that was a good choice?
Yeah, that was the first time.
You find those choices to be really difficult. You know, when I first started doing the podcast, I had this idea back in 2008.
Yeah.
And I didn't start until 2019. That's 11 years of like, knock, knock, knock. Are you going to do this yet, James? I'm like, nope. I'm not ready until I was swimming in the pool and I got a bump on my head and I was like, okay, that bump is, you better go now, son.
And it's time.
It's time. So so that voice or that intuition that you listen to. Now, what happened afterwards? Because I know you're an intuitive, and this is the bit that I find really fascinating for anyone listening. When you start listening to what your intuition is saying, you can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong. Yeah.
This is what I want to say is a superpower, right? For everybody listening, because everybody's intuitive, but not everybody knows it. When I look at things like The Apprentice, particularly the English one with Alan Sugar, you probably got the one in Canada as well.
Yeah.
But he always says, I listen to my gut. And the reason he goes, I'm not going to go with that person. I'm going to go with that one. You look good on paper, but there's something about you that I trust. And he goes, I always listen to my gut. And he never goes wrong. No wonder he's a successful businessman. No wonder he's thriving in that environment because he keeps listening and going, I'm doing that. Yeah. So what happened to you shortly following that 2008, making that choice?
Well, it was really interesting because when that actually kicked in for me to make that go, okay, I'm doing this, and I felt that piece. Right. I always would see, feel, hear. Like I would go out and you know, you'd be outside and you'd feel people, you know, that was part of who I was. I had to learn to mold that and understand. But when I made that shift and I really, so it was probably actually 2014, I guess, because it was 08 went through and then all this other stuff unfolded from that. Right. And, but when I made that big shift, all of a sudden, as I started to work with more people, it's like your muscle, right? You go work out and your muscles are getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Well, then what I was seeing, feeling, and hearing was getting so clear that even I'm like, what did I just hear? Like, what's going on here? Right. So the more people and my whole business grew word of mouth. Like I wasn't a social media person. I wasn't a website. Like I had 30 people a week booking 10 months out and I couldn't keep up with myself. And it was because they're like, I'm getting the results. Like things are moving. What's happening? And I just kept following spirit and people like, oh, you need this, you need that. And I don't think I had anything. I think basic maybe in 2016 or whatever. I was just too busy. Right. But it was like, then you change and you morph and you're like, okay, I better get on this train. And it just grew. And I think that's something people have to remember is it is like a muscle. The more you make yourself a priority, the more you follow your intuition and make it a priority, which we're not taught that in school, which is unfortunate.
That's, you know, one of the things I try and do on this podcast is have wonderful guests such as yourself. And I share my own experiences of what's worked for me about how I started, you know, tuning in. You know, I was the most skeptical guy ever, you know, like when I first started into this, I was like, what?
Oh, you, me, both. I hear you. I understand what you're saying.
No idea. But why I'm fascinated by it, we as human beings, is of what we haven't yet tapped into, which is why I always start my show saying, I'm helping you tune and tap into a natural state of well-being, because you are so much more than you already currently know. And once you start living just a little bit higher with this higher energy, you can't go wrong ever.
No.
And you may dip from time to time. I dip from time to time, but I know
everyone does.
And I know how to get back on quickly. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that was a bit difficult that afternoon.
But I got to pull my energy back.
I got to go back in. I got to do my little, my strategies and tools is what I help with my clients. And boom, I'm back again. And I'm like, things are right, gliding again.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest thing that people need to remember, that it's practice. We're going to fall down and get back up and fall down and get back up. And that's okay. And there's no failure. There's no right. There's no wrong. It's following your body. And we all have to learn that. As you said, we're not taught it. And then we come here and then we learn. And this is what I love about podcasts and all of us around the world that are now, I would say we're all in the boat together. We're all finding each other. We're all helping each other because we know what it's like. And for you and I, way back, like when you go back a couple of decades, it was a really lonely place because there wasn't that ability to reach out. And we didn't have the kind of communities we have now where, like back then, you and I couldn't jump on a 20 years ago on a podcast, say, hey, what have we learned or what's happening? Now we have the blessing where we can reach all over the world with each other and help other people so they don't feel alone and go, oh, I did fall down today. I had a bad day, but that's okay. I have a tool, whatever tool they want for that day in their toolbox. Yeah. And now I can get up and carry on.
I'm just in awe that we can do this, and I'm just in awe that we can uplift one another and at least give you a pocket of feeling like all is well for a moment, even if your whole day isn't great. But, you know, if you've got a pocket of that, you're going, wow, I can build on that. I can build on that.
Yeah, that's what's so important is we have to, and I had to hold on to those little moments to get through the more challenging moments. It's so true. You need to have that little bright light and say, what was the bright light of the day that you can take on? Or you'll just get swallowed up. Like I said, I think I lived like Eeyore before, and now people are like, you're too happy. What is this? I'm like, you didn't want to see Eeyore, Tracy, and now you don't want to see happy Tracy. So I don't know what to do for you.
Yeah. Well, we're not here to people please. And no. I think that just takes me into my sort of last question. Yeah. Just for the time being, I'd love to continue our conversation, but I thought this would be a nice one to sort of round off. Is Tracy, what are your non-negotiables?
In life in general, my non-negotiables.
In general, that keeps you in a state of balance. Your non-negotiables that keep you in a state of balance that may just inspire someone listening today or watching.
Yeah. Consistency.
Okay. Boom.
Communication. Truth and honesty. And I actually do express that with people that come in my world. I mean, you tell me anything, I'm not going to judge it, but just be honest with me. And whatever, so we can get through it. And I find by living within that space, and there are also, you know, you could go into, I need my time. I need my, yeah, like everybody needs something that requires them to stay focused. But when I look on an energy level, those are non-negotiable in my world of how I react and how I interact with other people.
Tracy, it's been a real joy speaking with you. What a bright light you are. Thanks for sharing your story. Thanks for sharing your wisdom. Now, what are the names of your books, though? I can just share that with the audience. So if they want to grab a copy, they can.
Yeah, there's God, Where Are You? It's Me. And then there's 31 Days of Prayer, and then 31 Days of Prayers and Affirmations.
Lovely. And hopefully it'll inspire you to enjoy a little bit more peace, happiness, and well-being. Tracy, thank you so much for being part of the show this week. You are this week's Super Soul Model. Thanks for listening to this episode. And if you've enjoyed it and gotten value and inspiration, please consider leaving a review, because your reviews help push this algorithm up so we can continue to keep giving you better and better content.